And now, live from the Eagle Newsroom in Bryan, it's Aggie Nation, covering Aggie football since the first game in 1894 and every game since. Talking all things A&M and all the pro and high school sports you want to hear. Aggie Nation on Sports Radio 1150, The Zone.
Welcome to Aggie Nation. It's Bloom and Kroom. It's Wednesday. You know I get fired up on Wednesdays, Kroom.
Yep.
So far, I don't have anything.
Annoyance day.
That's not true. I started to say I'm not too fired up yet, but I got a few things I'm a little fired up about. So text us your hot takes, 229-1939, and we'll get fired up about them. Maybe we'll help you get fired up for them or against them or whatever. So hit us up. We are brought to you by MSC Opus. Check out all the events coming to the season that dreams are made of at mscopus.org. Lots of cool shows and events part of the season. Check it out, mscopus.org. Again, you can hit us up. You can call us 693-1150 or text us 229-1939. And just let us know what are your hot takes. And by hot takes, I mean what I'm looking for today isn't so much like a hot take in the classic sense. It's more like, what is one of your predictions for this season that you don't think anyone else is thinking? You know, you think you're out there on the island with this thought. We did a little bit of them yesterday from ESPN. They had their wild predictions from different people on their staff. So, you know, hit us up. Let us know. What are your wild predictions? What are your thoughts on the season that no one else is talking about or that you don't think anyone else is talking about? And we'll weigh in. We'll tell you how crazy it is on a scale of not that crazy to you need to go home and don't drink and drive, whatever the case may be.
We can see why you're the only one that says that.
First thing, all right, at the back, Kroom. I'm already fired up today about this. This is why I started to say I wasn't fired up by anything, but then I'm a little fired up about this. How do you, for 2 years, say there's going to be 102,512 seats in Kyle Field, and then you just found more seats yesterday?
Well, you know what it is. You know, is that to put them above Tennessee? Is that what that's for?
I do have a conspiracy theory on this.
I think that might be it. I don't know.
My conspiracy theory is that they knew how many seats there were really going to be and set a slightly lower number just so that if any stadium did we're going to add a row of bleachers to make ours the high, then they would be able to clear it. Because it's like 200-something seats, right? It's a significant number. It's not like five. You know, that bench was a little longer than we thought. We got four extra seats. It's like 200-something. That is my conspiracy theory on this thing, that they knew what it was going to be the entire time, but didn't want anyone, adding 20 seats to make theirs bigger. But it's weird, though, right? I mean, you just walk around we have more seats. I mean, do they not know how many seats they're selling?
Yeah, I totally agree with you. I think it has something to do with their way of staying ahead of the crowd for a little bit longer. Because eventually...
Well, because 102,512 is only slightly more than Tennessee's, right? Doesn't Neyland hold 100? I don't know some exact number. I got to find the exact number here. But they... Yeah, okay, 102,455 is Neyland. So you're already, you would have only had, 57 more seats. So I think you do that. Then you prevent Neyland from adding on an extra row or something.
At least for a year.
Yeah. And then you've got the secret actual capacity coming in behind. The other thing that's weird is, and feel free, text, call, whatever, if we're way off base here. In the SI article yesterday, talking about how A&M Stadium is now the largest in the SEC, they quoted John Sharp as saying that, whatever the quote was, everyone said we were crazy, or people thought I was crazy for wanting to have 102,000 seats, that we wouldn't be able to fill it, but they sold out all 102,000 seats in 18 minutes. Well, that's clearly not true. You can go buy tickets right now for the non-conference home games. So is there something I'm missing here? I'm just trying to figure this all out, Kroom. Seems bizarre.
Is there certain games that are sold out?
I don't know, but if they have any tickets available, then they didn't sell out of all of them.
Yeah, they didn't sell out for the whole season.
Yeah, and you can right now go on to 12thmanfoundation.com and buy tickets for the Ball State game, which means they have not sold 102,000 tickets.
I thought, you know, because, you know, when, you know, 2 years ago when we're watching games that weren't, you know, these classic games, you know, we're looking at the stands and there's seats empty. Not a lot, you know, but at 85,000 or whatever it was, and just picking a round number there, there were empty seats. So 20,000 more, almost 20,000 more seats got to sell for a Ball State or, you know, a LeBar who comes in and things like that.
Yeah, I mean,
it's going to be difficult.
Well, it is going to be difficult, but we're just trying to get all of our – we're doing all this Kyle Field research out here in the newsroom and trying to figure out what's true and what's not true. And so, like I said, it's just – I don't know. There's just stuff that happened the last couple of days that I was like, how can that be the case? That's not a thing. Anyway, so that was throwing me off yesterday. And this morning we're doing our Kyle Field research. So there you go. Already have that going on. A few things about today's show. We are going to be joined by – we didn't have him on yesterday because we thought with Cease's last day before the first game, we could get through it without him. We bumped Sam Kahn to today. So Kahn is going to join us later on. We'll have today in Aggie history. I texted we got some great questions off Twitter for us to debate earlier, Kroom. And then we might hit on some big picture predictions. We might, because I'm saving all of my A&M, SEC, all of those things until Friday. But we might, maybe we'll do some other conferences today or something, Kroom. Or y'all can hit us up. Ask us anything about college football. We will probably answer it. 229-1939. Or again, your crazy predictions for this season, and we will judge how crazy they really are. The best thing about this all, Kroom, is we are roughly, if they kick off exactly at 5:30 like they're supposed to, just over 27 hours from the first game, the first real game. I don't know if some weird teams play tonight, but North Carolina, South Carolina is tomorrow at 5:30.
Yeah.
We're almost there.
Well, you know, they already did. They kind of had a little warm-up game. I know that North Dakota State, Montana, that was.
Well, that's FCS.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah. That was a good
college football right there.
Well, and Stitt is like a cult hero everyone loves. Everyone
and it's
loves
not
Bob
like they
Stitt.
Haven't beaten their fair share of Division I teams.
Well, North Dakota State certainly has. They've like had a tradition of beating Big 12 teams recently. Wasn't it Kansas and then Iowa State that they play in or something like that? By the way, someone was telling me on the why in the world did they schedule this game list, apparently Purdue opens with Marshall this weekend. They're going to get stomped. Purdue's got to be... they've got to be 20-point dogs in that game, Kroom, right? I would think.
I know they're dogs because I put that in, but I can't remember the exact points. But
yeah, I mean, they're going to be big dogs to Marshall. Who put that game on the schedule? What are you doing? That's one of those games you wish you had back.
Yeah, I was going to say, you know, these days, how many years in advance they have them there.
Yeah, but if your team is horrible, which when was the last time Purdue was good? When Drew Brees was there? Don't schedule someone like Marshall. That just is a bad idea.
I'd like to think that a Big Ten school should be able to hold its own, or at least make a go of it.
What state is Purdue in? Indiana? What are they, probably like the fifth best team in that state? If even that. But Indiana's better. Notre Dame is, they're in Indiana, right? They're better. Who else is in Indiana? There's other teams there, I'm sure, that are also better.
Indiana State?
Yeah, they're probably better. Hold on. I got to look up football teams in Indiana real quick. But Purdue needs to get their game. Yeah, they need to get this thing figured out.
Ball State.
Oh, yeah. Ball State's probably better. Butler, are they any good?
Basketball.
Yeah, well, yeah. they might be good at football. Do they even have a team?
I don't think so.
I don't know. But anyway, so those are... poor Purdue, man. Again, don't schedule that game. What about Valpo?
That would be interesting. Ball State, see if they would have beat Purdue.
The Evansville Purple Aces, I don't think they have a football team. Or if they do, they're definitely not.
Sounds like a minor league baseball team.
But anyway, that's what we got. Someone said it's actually 211 seats. Well, first they said 211 seats. Then they said 221 seats. Sorry, too much math already today. Look, we're all there. My computer out there is updating. I still haven't been able to get onto my work computer. Croom, I have handwritten notes for the show today because I can't print things from my computer, which is the one in the studio, and then I can't get on my work computer. And
we could do a two-hour show on
our IT guy. Again, I am fired up again already. This is partially why. It's Fired Up Wednesday or Hating Wednesday, whatever we called it last year. But Ben, the IT guy, who's great. He's awesome.
And having to do more than just IT stuff here.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. He's like building walls in the newsroom. He basically, if anything needs to be done at all, he does
he's
it.
He's the handyman.
But he says I can't touch the computer because if it is doing something and I try to reset it, then it's going to mess up the whole thing. So my computer's been on the, configuring Windows update screen literally all day. I mean, I got in the office about 10 o'clock today, and it is just, it's still going. So I can't even get on there. I don't even know what's going on. So I got my handwritten notes, fired up about college football, but also annoyed at we don't know how many people Kyle Field holds. So, or is going to hold. It's already hold it, so they haven't actually been there. I don't know how to word that either. They're having tense issues. Someone said they didn't shrink the seating spaces to squeeze more folks in as they did when they built the zone, did they? Chris, that's from Chris and Brian. No, I'm not a construction expert, but I feel like you would know how many seats you ordered. Right?
Yeah, but I don't know. I don't know how to answer that one. You keep looking at me like I've got an answer to the seat question, Crew, but I don't.
You were here the last four times.
My deal on that is it's just, like I said, they got to have the most. So by saying they weren't going to have the most, no one, like you said, no one else would pass them.
By the way, is A&M going to be the first team to ever open in an NFL stadium and then play in a better stadium the next week? I mean, NRG Stadium is crap compared to Kyle Field. I mean, it's not that nice of a stadium. I mean, it's nothing against NRG. It's a perfectly fine stadium, but it's not anything special. I mean, it's got a retractable roof and all that, whatever. But it's not like, you don't walk into going, ooh, like you do Cowboys Stadium.
Yeah. They're going to go from.
And then it only holds 70,000 people.
To a great stadium, to maybe the best stadium.
Is that what you're saying? It's just kind of funny.
They open
in an NFL stadium, but the NFL stadium is not nearly as cool as their stadium. Or at least we think. I haven't been in there yet, but I guess we'll find out.
It's still probably a pretty neat deal for the players, though, to get to play there.
Yeah. Especially the ones that grew up in Houston and love the Texans.
Yeah.
I know Jermaine Defetti said he's excited because it's, right from where he said 10 minutes from where he grew up. So, that'd be kind of cool. And then someone said, who cares? That's the other thing. No one, they have some amount of seats. No, I don't care.
I like that person. Who cares?
Just
get them in there, let them cheer, let's have some fun.
So I'm mostly just fascinated by the fact that, presumably they've been selling seats. They just had more than they thought they did. I don't know. I've been more fascinated with how it happens than that it happened. I mean, who cares? More seats.
Maybe they did
seats.
like a parking lot, and they got seats for compact people to make more
people.
Yeah, you got to have there so they could make more. That's what I did.
I don't know if they can do that. I think that would be sort of.
Here's your normal row, 20 seats. We're gonna make a compact row, 25 seats.
Compact row.
Yeah.
Do you have a little chute that people have to fit into the compact row?
Yeah, you have to walk through this certain area and not move. Hips straight and be able to walk through it.
Yeah. If you touch a side, and you're out.
To have to sit. Yeah.
Yeah. If you get a compact row seat and then you hit the sides of the compact measurer, it throws you out and you're in the regular seats.
And you should get somewhat of a discount for the compact.
You should also get a discount on the concessions. I think you get smaller concessions if you sit in the compact seats.
Or you need to walk out that way, too, afterward to make sure you didn't, gain weight while you were at the...
There's just weights and cardio equipment in the compact seats. Anyway, well, there you go. Maybe that's what happened. All right, we're going to go to break. When we come back, Croom, me and C said to jet out yesterday before the players started talking, so we want to get your thoughts on what the two players that came yesterday said. No, but also just our sense of A&M's, how do they feel going into this thing? Are they confident? Are they excited? Are they nervous? Whatever it is, we'll cut down and talk about that when we come back. Keep hitting us up, 229-1939, with your questions, your comments, your crazy predictions, whatever it is. We will answer them. So come back with us. This is Aggie Nation, powered by the Eagle, here on Sports Radio 1150 in the Zone FM 102.7.
Zone headquarters in Houston for the Aggies and the Sun Devils will be at the Holiday Inn NRG Medical Center. Starting at 3 o'clock, Dusty and I'll get you ready for the new season with the Coors Light pregame show. Then, after the game, starting 30 minutes after the game, the party known as the post-game call-in show, both live from the lobby of the Holiday Inn NRG. If you're looking for a place to stay the night before or after the game, the Holiday Inn NRG is attached to the parking lot of the stadium. They've also just underwent a $12 million renovation. They've got a full-service bar, full-service restaurant. And if you're looking for a place to park for the game, they have a $30 parking special, which includes two drinks that you can enjoy while listening to the pregame show or take them to go as you walk to the stadium for kickoff 2015 versus Arizona State. The Zone headquarters, and it can be yours too, is the Holiday Inn NRG Medical Center.
Sweating through another barn burner at your team's bar?
Sure am.
Wish you had some ice-cold refreshment?
You bet.
Then Coors Light may be right for you. Could result in meeting new people, epic fist bumps, epic forearm bumps, epic or chest bumps, touchdown dancing, breakdancing, line dancing, dancing like nobody's watching, awesome refreshment, refreshment for the win, and one-of-a-kind Rocky Mountain cold refreshment. Ask your bartender for Coors Light today.
Definitely.
When cold refreshment calls, Coors Light answers. Frost-brewed Coors Light, the world's most refreshing beer. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado. With great beer comes great responsibility.
There is so much happening in Aggie football this fall, you need to be attending the best live show around to stay up to date and on top of all things Aggie football. It happens every Monday and Thursday from noon till 1 at the Tap, and it's called the Belucci Hour. Get recruiting insight from Billy Lucci and Bryce Jones of Texags Radio every week, twice a week this fall. Plus, enjoy the Tap's delicious $7.99 lunch specials with all the bells and whistles. Make the Belucci Hour lunch a part of your week every Monday and Thursday from noon till 1.
When you think of Texas A&M Athletics on the Zone, think of the businesses sponsoring the games of your favorite team.
Businesses like Team Auto in Navasota, Zwarneman Flooring, and the Sleep Station.
Here's a big gig'em to these sponsors of Texas A&M Athletics. You're listening to the flagship station for Texas A&M Athletics, Sports Radio 1150 and the Zone 102.7 FM. St. Joseph Eagle football fans, here's a reminder for you to listen to St. Joseph Eagles football throughout the season on 88.5 FM. St. Joseph Eagle football is brought to you this season by these fine local businesses.
Jeff Paradowski, attorney at law, Glockson Family Partnership, Prosperity Bank, and Jason Bayinski, BCR Realtor.
Listen to St. Joseph Eagles football on 88.5 FM. Special thanks to all of our St. Joseph Eagle football sponsors.
Your home for fighting Texas Aggie football. Sports Radio 1150 and the Zone 102.7 FM.
He just to dance our way out of our constriction. Gonna be freaking up and down the hang up alleyway. With the groove I only got, we shall all be moved.
Croom hate room on Wednesdays. Any more things to hate? Now that we got that, I'm less angry.
It's not always hate. It's, you know, it's just
no
trying to understand or being annoyed about something.
Yeah. Hate's not the right word. It's vexed sometimes.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah. Word. But there you go. Crazy thoughts, predictions, questions, or normal thoughts, predictions, questions. Hit us up 229-1939. So we'll see what y'all send in. Kroom, the question, did you get any sort of read on the coaches, the players, there was only two, of what one who may not even play about?
Well, I don't think he will from what Sumlin said and what he said.
A.J. Hilliard being the guy we're talking about here who may or may not play on Saturday. Which I don't know. Well, we'll get into that later. But the question is: did you get any sort of read on the players, the coaches, and where maybe they think they are heading into this thing as opposed to maybe last year, the last couple of years?
My take on Sumlin was that he was very confident. We talked about this. I think he feels really good about this team. And, you know, and it's not just coach speak. He just had a little bit more relaxed. He just seems a little bit more relaxed than in past years going into the season. And he brought up his record of, you know, having success early. So I think that was my take with him. It was kind of funny with Spavital because it was like, I think that's the first time that a coordinator's come in and essentially left before his time was up because there were no questions.
Well, we talked about this yesterday on the show about Spavital. To me, the thing there is that we've dissected the Anim offense as many ways as it can go.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's like, what more questions can you ask right now?
They don't really have any position battles. You know, they don't really – we know who the starters are everywhere, maybe left guard, but then they're just going to say they're both, you know, both these guys bring a lot to the table.
They'll both get to play.
So it's you know, let's just go see it. I thought that was a good way to wrap up the offensive part of fall camp because we know about the Anim offense. We know what they do. We know what they're trying to do, and we know what they want to do. But the question is, can they do it? And we just have to wait and see. That's the thing. We're all tired of talking about the Anim offense. I think people still want to talk about defense and different things, but there's just still more questions. It's all about can they go out and do it.
Like you said, and it's been a week since we've even been able to see them warm up or anything. So,
yeah.
You know, that was another thing for
right. We
having,
some...
you know, having any sort of question or what you might have seen.
The thing it's always interesting to me, though, is to go a few weeks into the season and then kind of look back on how you thought the coach was. Because last year, we all thought we didn't really know what to think. And then after a couple games, it looked like, hey, A&M might be pretty good. We all went back and sort of retroactively decided that Sumlin was being confident in the summer. When he was being a little, I don't know, prickly might not be the right word, but he would say combative, or maybe he wouldn't, but that's what his wife would say, I guess, because he said this year at SEC Media Days, his wife told him not to be combative. So, it was you went back and then retroactively thought that, oh man, he liked this team all year, and he thought they'd be pretty good going into the season, but it was a different vibe. Last year, I do think he thought they would be better than people thought last year, but I think even they had some concerns about certain positions on the team in certain areas, and then maybe that kind of got glazed over after how well they did at South Carolina. But this year, it's a little bit different. I think that they really like where they are almost across the board, maybe at linebacker.
I was
some
gonna
injury
say, linebacker
issues.
seems to be the place where they're a little hesitant right now, and
yeah.
That's because they're still not 100% healthy.
Yeah.
If they're 100% healthy, I'm not even sure they'd have that. I mean, I think they'd have a good feeling about the linebacker spot, too.
Yeah, and so, I don't know. To me, that's a little bit interesting this year that they are a little bit confident. The players, Trey Carson, who is not exactly – he doesn't exactly wear his emotions on his sleeve. He's kind of a guarded guy anyway.
I was going to say – that's what I was going to say. It was almost like if you were listening to the tone and listening to the words – they weren't gelling, you know what I mean? When he was talking, he's confident. He's everything he was saying about how excited he is about the whole thing, but it was rather monotone than how he said it. You know, it was like he was being real reserved about the way he was putting it and things like that. So, yeah, with him, it was. I think he is excited, but you know, he's pretty calm and reserved guy. I think
he's an interesting player coming into this season because really he hasn't. I'm not saying that Trey Carson is not a good running back. I think he is pretty good, and I think he's going to have a pretty good season. But this is a guy who, in his career, has only run for 910 yards so far, and yet to hear people talk about him this off season, it's like A&M is going to, you know, all of a sudden build this whole foundation of a run game around Trey Carson, mm-hmm.
Which you know they're not, though. Because they're not, I mean, first of all, they're not going to build it around the run game.
Yeah.
And secondly, they have a couple of running backs. So it's not always, and he even he said that. You know, he said, I came here knowing that, you know, someone likes to use three running backs.
Yeah.
You know, when we brought up the fact that he's kind of like the guy now back there, he kind of dismissed that somewhat by saying, you know, hey, it's always been like a running back by committee, and even now it's going to be, even though he might be the one that gets, you know, more care, he might get the most carries for sure, which we didn't, you know, going into the last 2 years, going into every game, we didn't know who was going to get the most carries.
No, you know, if they'd run the ball at all the last couple of years. Yeah. And that's kind of my thing.
Well, 2 years ago, it was quarterback.
Yeah. Well, and I'm not trying to discount Trey Carson, and it's kind of my whole point here. But everyone kind of – it's sort of the off-season local narrative that gets kind of built up. Well, we hear this all the time, how great A&M's running backs have been, but they haven't been. Trey Carson, Trey Williams, and Brandon Williams – were all borderline ineffective most of the time. Trey Williams had a couple games, and then Trey Carson had a couple games where he was pretty good. But we always heard that. You know, they have great running backs, but they can't get them the ball enough. I wonder if the problem has been that they don't have great running backs, or at least not the way that they want to have great running backs. But I guess we'll see more of that
this year.
Well,
I think a lot of it is running backs like to have the ball a lot. And you know, and I don't think any A&M running back's gonna get that chance.
Well, no, I'm not saying. I don't think even the most.
10 times for 3 yards, and then they break one for 34. You know, and all of a sudden your stats look pretty good.
Well, I don't
when
think
I
even
say 10
the craziest
times 3 yards. I meant an average. 10 times for 3 yards on an average.
I don't think the craziest Christensen supporter is gonna say that AM's gonna have a running back go for 1,200 yards this year. It's not gonna happen. But that's all. That's what the whole offseason has been about.
He'd probably have to average about 30 yards.
You bring in a run game coordinator. We've heard about changes to the run game. They've got to run, all this different stuff. And like I said, I don't know. I think they're going to be slightly better at it. The question is,
it's not a matter of how much better. I mean, it is a matter of how much better are they. But statistically, it might not show that much.
Well, it's what we talked about.
But just the threat of it.
It's what we talked about yesterday. A little bit will
make the difference.
A little bit with Cease is that it's not when we're talking about the A&M run game this year. What I said is we're talking 5 extra plays a game. You know, maybe five plays they run the ball better than they did last year. And maybe that makes a huge difference. I mean, maybe all of a sudden by doing that, it opens up the passing game and all this other kind of stuff. But the whole thing, I'm just fascinated with Trey Carson, how much has been written about him, how much they put him out there, how much fans talk about him, and how widely considered to be a good running back he is. And not just by A&M media, but by national media, we see it all the time. A&M has a solid running back in Trey Carson, or they have a good running back in Trey Carson. For a guy that, you know, like I said, in his career has only run for 910 yards. But I don't know. I just think it's a fascinating part of this offseason, Mikrim.
Well, I just think that under Sumlin, and well, not just Sumlin, it's the game now. You know, there are very few teams who running backs are better than their receivers now, or more known, better known than their receivers, I believe.
Yeah, but there's a few.
Well, there are a few. I mean, yeah, but obviously.
Arkansas, Alabama. I mean,
yeah, Alabama's going to have it. Even Auburn,
Georgia,
to an extent. I would guess that more than half
Ohio State,
more than half your receivers are gonna be your
we'll see
your stars.
Ryan in Corpus Christi said, "I don't know that I buy into the new quote commitment to the run. I just want to be able to successfully run when we need to.
That would
be a huge improvement.
When you get to 3rd and 1 and 3rd to 2, have that threat that you could run because I mean I'm not sure defenses last year." Worried about the run at that point. They were still defending the pass on 3rd and 1 and 2.
Well, we'll see. Again, Trey Carson, a lot of weight on his shoulders coming into this first game. All right, let's get a break. When we come back, we're going to get Sam Kahn on the phone. We'll talk to him. We'll get his thoughts. Keep y'all's texts coming, your wild predictions for this season, your questions for us, your questions in general, anything you want to send us, 229-1939. Come back with us. This is Aggie Nation, powered by the Eagle here on Sports Radio 1150 and the Zone FM 102.7.
From News Talk 1620 WTAW, I'm Chelsea Reber with a news update on Sports Radio 1150 and the Zone 102.7 FM. College Station police were involved in a foot chase yesterday morning with a pair of 13-year-old boys accused of taking a bicycle from a home north of Consolidated High School. A neighbor witnessed the teens going into an open garage of a home on Medina Street near Southwest Parkway. A short time later, they were seen by an officer at Harvey Mitchell in Rio Grande. The boys took off to the north past Bee Creek and were caught on Langford, where they were arrested. Observant neighbors helped the victim of a residential theft track down a pair of heavy iron chairs that were taken off her porch earlier this summer. College Station police arrested 37-year-old Derek McGress Monday night for theft with prior convictions. According to the arrest report, one of her neighbors saw a man struggle with carrying the chairs past their homes. In addition to the theft charge, McGress is also in jail for a parole violation. It's been a week since the most activity was scheduled for undercover military training exercises at Texas A&M's Disaster City and Riverside campus. Brazos County Sheriff Chris Kirk says there was none of the public activity that was seen in Bastrop County at the beginning of the Jade Helm operation earlier this summer.
That would have shown up on our activity log as suspicious behavior and investigated by our deputies, and I'm not sure that we had anything that went to that level, and certainly none of the patrol deputies reported that. If they're on schedule, then they've concluded their part that was going to take place here in Brazos County, and, you know, I've not heard any difference.
Military officials have not responded to our requests for an update on the success of their training in Brazos and Burleson counties. For more, go online to WTAW.com. I'm Chelsea Reber on Sports Radio 1150 and The Zone 102.7 FM.
Hey, Aggie football fans, learn how you can win a chance for your child to be the Texas A&M kickoff kid by visiting academy.com/Aggies. A new winner will be chosen for each home game, so enter early at academy.com/Aggies for your best chance to win. No purchase necessary. Academy Sports and Outdoors, proud corporate partner of Texas A&M Athletics.
The right stuff, the low price, every day. Academy.
There is so much happening in Aggie football this fall, you need to be attending the best live show around to stay up to date and on top of all things Aggie football. It happens every Monday and Thursday from noon till 1 at the Tap, and it's called the Belucci Hour. Get recruiting insight from Billy Lucci and Bryce Jones of Texax Radio every week, twice a week this fall. Plus, enjoy the Tap's delicious $7.99 lunch specials with all the bells and whistles. Make the Belucci Hour lunch a part of your week every Monday and Thursday from noon till 1. School is started, but the heat's still with us, so cool off with these great September specials from your favorite Rattler store, like Music Mountain Water, only $4.39 a case. And if you're hungry, grab a package of Biggs or David Sunflower Seeds, the 5.25-ounce bag, two for only $2.22. On your way home from another scorching day on the job, then get to your closest Rattler store and grab any 24-pack of your favorite beer from the fine families of beer from Bud, Miller, and Coors. Rattlers. Friendly. Clean. Texan.
If you're a high school senior, join your classmates and commit to attending all of your classes this year.
At the end of the school year, Atkinson Toyota Scion is giving away a new Scion, or you could win one of many scholarships.
Details online and on Facebook.
Hello.
Hello.
For more information on The Zone 102.7 and Sports Radio 1150, visit zone1150.com now.
Welcome back, Aggie Nation, powered by the Eagle. It's Aubrey Bloom, Richard Kroom. Kroom, we've talked plenty. We need to get someone else in here for the conversation, and we have someone else. It's ESPN.com's Sam Kahn.
First name, Sam.
Sam, how are you?
Sam, how are you?
Samwise the Brave.
Last name, Kahn.
Kahn.
Sam Kahn.
Thank you.
Am I am.
I want to hear more about Sam.
The roughest, toughest He-Man, stuffest hombre has ever crossed the Rio Grande.
Now, Sam Kahn.
Kahn, how are we doing on this fine Wednesday, almost 24 hours from the start of football season?
Hallelujah, man. Gosh, I'm tired of talking about BS, man. I want to see some actual game results.
Yeah, everyone knows we're all about that action, boss.
That's right. I'm just here so I don't get fined.
A few questions you want to hit. You've talked about A&M on the show several times. We might talk some more SEC-wide things. I've already said I'm going to put all my season predictions out there for the world on Friday. But I hinted at this one yesterday, Sam, and I need you to tell me why maybe I'm crazy or maybe why I'm not crazy. I'm not in love with the Crimson Tide this year. And they have a brutal schedule. I don't like the fact that they don't have a set quarterback. And they've got some inexperience both in the secondary and at wide receiver. Am I losing it here, or could we finally see a little bit of a down year for Alabama?
Well, if you consider 10-2 a down year, then yes. Because it's all what to consider a down year. Do I expect them to lose 4 games? No, not at all. But I like you, am not real high on the Tide. I think they have to go to Georgia, they have to go to Auburn, they have to go to A&M. I mean, A&M hasn't beat a top 25 team at home yet in the Sumlin era, but you figure that's bound to change at some point. That said, the quarterback situation for me is the most concerning. I don't think it's for a lack of talent, but the fact that Jake Coker was anointed the guy a season ago before he even got on campus and then didn't win the job. And again, here we are 3 days before the opener, and he still has not separated himself. It raises a red flag to me. And they have 5 scholarship quarterbacks on that roster. I've talked to a lot of coaches around the league that are kind of wondering why David Cornwell, the highly regarded recruit out of Oklahoma, who's a redshirt freshman, hasn't gotten more of an opportunity. It sounds to me like Coker, Cooper, Bateman, and Alex Morris are the 3 that are in the mix right now. But I think it will end up being Coker. But, man, he's got to show me something. I agree with you on the receivers. Amari Cooper is a lot to replace, although I'm not too concerned about production. I think they're going to get production. But are Darius Stewart and Robert Foster, those guys, are they going to be the kind of game-breaking talent that Amari Cooper was? That's the big question. And there is questions in the secondary for sure. They've got to hash those out. Not necessarily something that'll be tested against Wisconsin, I assume, but nevertheless, at some point, it's going to be a question to be answered. But I agree with you. I'm not real high on the Tide. I picked them at 10-2 this season, which is still pretty good, but it's not Alabama good, and it certainly wouldn't get them in the college football playoff. But I'm with you. I'm not real high on the Tide.
Of all the quarterback, and we were texting before the show on what exactly we're going to talk about, and of all the teams that have and then haven't named, the ones that haven't named quarterbacks yet, is that necessarily a red flag for you? Is that them just, not wanting to say anything, especially if you've got 2 different kinds of quarterbacks, you want the other team still preparing for both? Any concern there? Ole Miss is really, I think, the only one that we would consider to be a good team, frankly. So does that concern you at all about Ole Miss?
It depends on the team. Like, for instance, like, you talk about Vandy, yeah, it's concerning because they play 4 different guys. Although they know their guy. They picked him 2 weeks ago, and they just haven't said it. And we'll see on Thursday. But Ole Miss is, we don't know for sure who the starter's going to be, because Hugh Freeze said Chad Kelly will probably take the first snaps, but they're going to play all 3 on Saturday. I'm really curious to see if that actually happens. But I think all 3 of those guys are good. I think Chad Kelly's good. I like Devontae Kincaid, the kid from Dallas Skyline. I thought he was a great talent coming out of Skyline. He's a sophomore. I've heard good things. And Ryan Buchanan is in between. He's probably not the arm talent that those 2 guys are, but he's smart. He makes good decisions. I think he'll run that offense real well. So I think any of the 3 guys are good. Kelly, obviously, they're a little bit of a concern, off the field, if he can stay out of trouble, because he had some off-field incidents both at Clemson and then right after he signed with Ole Miss. But in terms of talent, I think all 3 of those guys are fine. If Hugh Freeze's offense will be fine. I think the biggest concern for Ole Miss is not a quarterback. It's getting that running game going and that offensive line, which is not tremendously deep. They may start a true freshman, Javon Patterson, at left guard. So that's a question mark for me, too.
I think one team that has named a quarterback, and I was building up momentum for this team on my preseason picks as far as a potential playoff team, is Georgia. But when they named Grayson Lambert the starter, all of a sudden I take a step back because, I mean, is that really the best option for Georgia? I know they have quality running backs. Not enough people are talking about the fact that they have depth there. They're not just Nick Chubb and a bunch of guys. They've got some other players there that have actually proven a lot on the college level. But to me, the quarterback decision at Georgia doesn't do anything for me.
I agree with you wholeheartedly. It surprised me as well. I've been talking to a lot of coaches. The league, you get the sense that Bryce Ramsey was going to be the guy. He's a sophomore, highly recruited, really big arm. You know, I kind of thought that was going to be the guy, and that's everything that I heard coming from that direction as see Grayson Lambert go. What it tells me is that Mark Brick and Brian Schottenheimer are more comfortable with someone who has game experience, because Bryce Ramsey and Stone Bowson do not really have much at all. I think one of them hasn't played. So Grayson Lambert, while it hasn't been great, and he threw 11 interceptions last year, has 9 starts, has some playing experience, has faced, you know, ACC teams, and knows, you know, what's going on out there. That said, Mark Brick said they are interested in getting another quarterback into the game. Whether that's Ramsey or Bowser, I don't know. I would assume Ramsey, but it's made it sound like it's not set in stone that Lambert's going to be the starter all season, but it definitely. I take a step back, too, because that makes me curious. Is that the best option long-term for Georgia? That makes me wonder. They've got some really good quarterbacks who are coming in. But as one coach told me, they said, don't screw it up. Just hand the ball to Chubb and get the hell out of the way. That's really all you have to do right now. And I agree with you. I think Georgia's set up for a really good season. Their only road games are Vanderbilt, Tennessee, Auburn, and Georgia Tech. I think those are manageable. Obviously, the Auburn game will be tough, but I think the other ones are all winnable. I think the schedule sets it really well, and Georgia could be on the cusp of a playoff run if things work right.
Yeah, another thing that people forget, too, is not every team has to be where A&M is this week. A&M, obviously, is coming out with a top 15 opponent, Arizona State. But Georgia, for example, they don't play anyone that's any good until October 3rd. So there are some teams who...
Wow, you just threw State in South Carolina, dude.
You
skipped right over the Gamecocks this week 3.
I am. I'm throwing Vandy in South Carolina under the bus there because I just don't think I don't think they're going to be challenges for Georgia.
No, Vandy's not. I actually think South Carolina's going to be okay, but you're right. They don't have a huge test until Alabama, you're right, in October.
Any other teams out there that, whether we've been talking about people's, you know, not necessarily insane predictions, but a prediction that they have that maybe they don't think is a popular one, do you have anything like that you see coming into this season where maybe it's a team that people are talking too much about or maybe a team that people aren't talking enough about? Do you have anyone in there that you're watching you think that applies to?
I have a couple. I think LSU I'm down on. I know I saw Kirk Herbstreit pick them to make the playoff. I'm not going that far. LSU's weird to me because I think they should go 7-5, which is like what I picked them at, and that's basically based on the quarterback because they're, everywhere else they're really talented, and I really love their roster, but the quarterback play's got to get better. And I like Brandon Harris. I was a big fan of the recruit in terms of his skill set, and he's well-regarded. If they lose that early game to Auburn and they have to go to Mississippi State early, you know, who knows, that season could go off the rails in a hurry. And that their last month at Alabama, Arkansas, at Ole Miss, and A&M, that last month of the season is a bear for LSU. I'm high on Tennessee, but I think people are maybe going a little too quick on this because Tennessee is really talented, but they're really young. And Josh Dobbs, I think, is going to be a good quarterback. You know, we saw some real flashes from him late last season, but you know, I'm not ready to go all in on him just yet, and they have a tough middle stretch. Let's remember, they haven't beat Florida since 2004, and, you know, we say that Florida used to be a power, but Florida's been struggling the last couple of years, but they still haven't beaten them in 10 years. So they have to go at Florida, Arkansas, Georgia, and at Alabama in the middle of the season. That's a tough stretch. That Oklahoma game in the second week is going to be really telling for the ball, so I think that's one where I think they're going to be good, but I don't know if I'm ready to say they're going to contend for an SEC title. And another one that I'm kind of curious about is Mississippi State because, man, everyone keeps picking them last in the division. But, man, when you have the best quarterback in the league at your disposal, which right now at this moment in time, in my opinion, Dak Prescott is that guy, that's a huge, huge plus. because you've got the best quarterback on the field when you go up against another team. Certainly, maybe it's someone else later in the season in this league that, that gets that distinction. But Prescott's won. He's been in the trenches. He's a leader. And yeah, they lost a lot of talent. But remember, this was a team that was ranked number one in the college football playoff committee rankings for several weeks last year. Certainly, they lost some talent, but I can't imagine that they're going to plummet quite that far. That said, I mean, I picked them last in the division too, but I start to wonder if we've gone way far on that because they have been a steady program over the last several years, and Dan Mullen has done a really good job building that program up. It's not easy to win at Starkville, but he's starting to get it done, and I wonder if maybe people have jumped off the bandwagon too quick.
Real quick before I let you go, Sam, last time you're going to be on the show until A&M plays a game. I'm not going to necessarily lock you into a score prediction for Saturday, but how do you think this game shakes out? If you want to do a prediction, that's fine, but if not, maybe how you think the game flow of this thing is going to go.
I do think it's going to be relatively high scoring, maybe 40s or high 30s point-wise. I think it's going to be wild. I think it's going to be highly contested because I watched Kevin Sumlin and Todd Graham go at it in Conference USA for several years when Graham was at Tulsa and Sumlin was at Houston. These coaching staffs know each other well. Jake Spavital worked for both staffs. Sumlin mentioned he was a roommate with one of the coaches on the Arizona State staff way back in Washington State in the early 90s. So there's a lot of familiarity between these two teams. I think it's very appealing. I'd have A&M winning in a close one, a high-scoring battle. I think it's going to be fun. And I think it's going to be a great way to kick off the 2015 season.
Sam, we will see you down there. Enjoy the rest of your week. Looking forward to seeing you. Finally, you don't have to travel for a game. This one's in Houston.
Come with me. Let's go to the Breakfast Club on Saturday. Get some chicken waffles on Saturday morning.
Hey, there we go. I'm there. All right, Sam, we'll talk to you this weekend.
All right, man. Take care.
There you go, Kroom. Always good to talk to Sam Kahn. He's fired up because he doesn't have to go anywhere on Saturday for the first time. He has to travel for every A&M game. But we'll go to break. We'll come back.
Yeah, but it still might take him as long to get to that game as it would to get
true.
Up here.
That's true. I don't know where he lives in Houston, so depending on where he lives, it could take a while. We'll come back, talk about some more things. We've got a couple texts that have come in. We will get to those. And you can keep texting us, 229-1939. And come back. This is Aggie Nation, powered by the Eagle, Sports Radio 1150 and the Zone FM 102.7.
Here's Brad Beard of Intercon.
When we started Intercon in early 1991, we were well aware that we would be competing with some companies that use unscrupulous techniques to make a quick sale, such as bait and switch, or 40% off if you commit today, or misleading, incomplete quotes. Intercon's practice is to be completely honest and encourage prospective customers to talk to our former customers. We've encouraged customers to get multiple quotes. We are confident and proud of our value proposition for windows, glass, and solar screens. We never want anyone to rush into a decision they will regret in the future. Just remember, warranties are only as good as the people who provide them and are servicing the area when situations arise. This is our home and only marketplace, and we will protect our home turf. You've probably heard the saying, the buck stop here, and that is with me, Brad Beard, president and co-owner of Intercon LLC.
Whether you have new construction or an existing home, let the fine folks from Intercon help your home energy efficiency year-round. Call Brad Beard of Intercon today at 823-3639. That's 823-3639.
It's a great time for sizzling hot deals at Normandy Tractor. If you need an affordable Kubota tractor to get the job done and you need it now, come see Vernon and the guys at Normandy Tractor. At Normandy Tractor, you'll find a huge selection and great prices on all Kubota tractors and utility vehicles. And right now, get the best deal of the summer with the Kubota L2501F 25 horsepower two-wheel drive tractor with a 5-foot land pride shredder complete with an $800 finance rebate and a $500 cash rebate. Only $11,695. Or 10% down in payments of only $156 per month. Normandy asks you, why buy used when you can buy new with prices and payments as low as these? Need to finance? Normandy makes it easy with zero down payment and 0% financing on all new Kubota tractors and lawn equipment. And remember, most any trade can be your down payment. Normandy Tractor, voted best of the Brazos since 2002. Remember to shop the internet specials at normandytractor.com, located at the corner of Highway 39 and OSR in Normandy, Texas. And remember, nobody beats Normandy Tractor.
Every doctor in every field of medicine wants to be a patient's first choice. Every health and wellness professional wants to be a patient's first choice. To make this happen, you first need a partner capable of delivering a powerful marketing message. That partner is Brazos Wellness Magazine, a local publication filled exclusively with local articles. For more information about Brazos Wellness Magazine, contact Brian Broadcasting or email sam@brianbroadcasting.com.
Aggie fans, the Kevin Sumlin Radio Show is at Rudy's Barbecue on Harvey Road for the 2015 football season. Show features the coach, questions from the floor as he joins the fans to talk some Aggie football. It's 7 o'clock, Rudy's Barbecue on Harvey Road each Tuesday night. Of course, you'll hear it all here on the Aggie Radio Network. But we'll see you at Rudy's each Tuesday at 7. It's the Kevin Sumlin Radio Show. Come and join us for 1 hour of all things Texas A&M football.
Your home for Houston Texans football. Sports Radio 1150 and The Zone, 102.7 FM.
Welcome back. Powered by the Eagle. It's Bloom and Kroom. Kroom, why don't we hit the people a little today in Aggie history?
And now, today in Aggie history.
Kroom, we're going way back.
You always go way back with me. I think it's an age thing. Whenever I'm here, it's you always go way back.
To me, all of these are way back.
Yeah.
This one, I think, is – I think you were only about 20 or 30 when this happened. September 2nd, 1945. You probably weren't around.
My dad was 14.
This is a cool one, though. I mean, they're all cool. All the Act Today and Aggie histories are cool. But some of them are more recent, and some of them are good history stuff. Today, September 2nd, 1945, Colonel Tom Dooley, class of 1935, witnessed the Japanese signing the surrender documents on board the USS Missouri, marking the end of World War II. Dooley graduated from Texas A&M with a degree in agricultural engineering and served as head Yale leader in 1933. Kroom, how about that? More than 20,000 Aggies served in the war, 14,000 of them as officers. More Aggies served as officers than any other school in the country. How about that?
Yeah, there you go. That's
nice. It's a good today in Aggie history. There's a second one, September 2, 2006. Again, this is more like recent history. They debuted the new TV screen at Kyle Field on the first.
Wow. Day.
But now it's been replaced.
I know, but even that seems like that wasn't that long ago.
It's been upgraded. Yeah. Been replaced by a new. It replaced the old jank one, and then there was that one for a while, which was pretty good. And then now there's the new crazy one, which is crazy, but it's not that crazy compared to the one at Auburn now. That they've got a wild one, too. But anyway, so there you go. There's today's Days in Aggie History. Check out MyAggieNation.com. This week, lots of great stuff on there. Everything that was in our SEC magazine is up on there. So the John Chavis Mustache Hall of Fame stuff is up there. The Cessna's column on Kyle Field is in there. Lots of great stuff, as well as our Which Aggie Football Player Are You? Quiz. Kroom, have you done the quiz?
No, I have not.
Oh, we're going to get tomorrow. You're doing the quiz live on the show.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Tomorrow we're going to do what Aggie.
Do homework for this quiz?
No. You just answer six questions and it tells you which Aggie football player are you. Tomorrow, Kroom, you're going to do. Don't do it today. Don't read ahead. We're going to do Kroom's live on the air tomorrow. We'll find out what Aggie football player is Kroom. That's going to be quality stuff.
It's kind of like our what team you should cheer for.
But it tells this one's more refined instead of us having to do it. Rob and I don't know who all else worked on this thing, but they got it all. It's in the system, figures it out for you. And there's you type in some stuff and then the hamsters behind the screen start wheeling and dealing, and then it tells you what Aggie football player are you. So Kroom will do that tomorrow, but again, check out MyAggieNation.com. Lots of great stuff on there. This week we're about to go to the big break, and when we come back, I'm excited. This is a good, I like this text we got, and it says, and we're going to weigh in on this in the second hour. It says, Herb Street and the old dude from Game Day, who I assume they mean Corso, pick LSU for the playoffs because they both say Fournette is going to win the Heisman. Running game is very important. Kroom, when we come back, I want to talk about whether or not the running game is very important. I think that's an interesting topic. We also had a couple questions from Twitter that were weird that we may or may not get to in the second hour. And then I want to know, y'all, what are y'all doing for in the game? Are y'all tailgating in Houston? What's the plan? Houston's kind of an oddly laid out city, and NRG Stadium is an odd part of that city. So what are y'all's plans on Saturday? I want to know, because I might grab a camera and come down there and see what y'all are doing. Hit us up, 229-1939. What's your plan? Where will you be? What are you doing? I want to know. We're going to break all that down in
the
second
hour. Whatever your plan, leave some time.
Yeah, leave a lot of time. I want to know that. And then, of course, we'll have the high school report and a little bit of news. Criminals, all kind. You never know what's going to happen in the second hour, because it's the second hour.